Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we help you connect money to mission. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and again, we're back for part two with Tony Pimpo. Welcome, Tony.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, we are here for part two of Small Business Marketing Tips. In our first episode on this topic, we talked about some practical steps to creating some business marketing, getting it off the ground. And this isn't everything, but this is just some good practical advice. So step one was, you know, selecting a very good business name. And we had a lot of insight about how to do that because it really leads into your marketing, right?
Yes.
And so then step two is creating a logo. We gave a lot of resources like Canva, Fiverr.com, 99 Designs, different places and different ways to creating a good logo. And then we talked about creating the story brand framework, brand script, which is step three. And then step four is creating a sales letter, basically generating that first paragraph of marketing copy that really speaks to your target customer. And then kind of you'll start pulling from that to use it in several other things like email campaigns, websites, landing pages, etc. And then we talked about securing a really good domain name that makes sense based on your business. And it's easy, it's simple, it's short, you know, things like that. So we talked about that. And then after we talked about domain name, we talked about getting a professional email address, like through, there's a lot of different services out there that offer it, but one I really like to use is Google G Suite. I think they may actually call it something different now, but basically it's the professional version of Google's email. It's like Gmail professional that you can have your name at yourdomain.com basically. And so then after that was, once you've got a good email address, a good logo, good business name, all these things working for you, then create business cards. And so the business cards should work for you very good. So that was kind of step number seven. So today we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to talk about email marketing, setting up an email marketing account. Have you ever done any email marketing or seen some email marketing campaigns?
I have seen some. We've done some at our company. Mm-hmm. Using, I think it was SendGrid. Mm-hmm. And yep. Then there was one other one, MailChimp. I think it was, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. There's a lot of different solutions out there, and there's new ones coming out every day. Yeah. So you just kind of do a little research about an email marketing solution, and there'll be any number of things. I've really had a lot of good success with MailChimp. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of integrations for different websites, web forms, things like that. So it's very easy to use, and then for basically free or very cheap, you get access to a lot of robust features.
Right. One thing I've found too, kind of along with that, you can actually find marketing lists online and actually purchase them. Mm-hmm. Like lists of just emails of people who are in your target demographic, mm-hmm. too. So that's kind of where you can reference back to your story script and the mm-hmm. personas that you've created to look for demographics data, and you can hook that in with your email marketing.
Absolutely. Now, the laws do change on that from time to time.
Yes.
So you need to be aware of that. Back when I had my marketing company and we did it, you know, back in the day, you could just purchase any list. It's almost like the dark web, right? You can purchase anybody's email address and blast them away, right? And with no consequences. Now, it's about quality over quantity. And
yes.
So I think it was the CAN-SPAM Act or something like that that came out. You can purchase lists and stuff like that, but depending on the different areas, and like you have to send them like one introductory email, and they mm-hmm. have to opt in
and
after
give
that.
Them ability to opt out at all times,
and give them the ability to opt out. So there are some laws around that. So you can look up, I think just look up email marketing laws, and you can find YouTube videos, web articles, different things helping with that. And again, the laws are kind of ever changing, and I'm not super up to date with where everything is now with privacy laws and all that. But the very simplest way to get started, so let's say you set up a marketing campaign, right? And let's say that you're using MailChimp. So one of the first things you can do is plug people in there that you have personal connection with, right? You can, but then also a lot of small businesses already have some customers, but they don't follow up with them very well. And so creating some email, an email list in your CRM, customer relationship management software, mm-hmm. hopefully you have one. If not, having something like a MailChimp or someone like that, you can kind of use it for two purposes, right? And so, because you can put notes in there about the customer and, you know, if they're a follow-up customer, things like that. But you can follow up with people and set like marketing campaign automations, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So you can say, okay, every customer that buys from us 6 months from now, right? Let's say carpet cleaning. I recently had my carpets cleaned. I had them cleaned 6 months ago, whatever. And I got an email. Hey, spring cleaning, blah, blah, blah. And then I got an email. It's Easter. You need, you know, people are going to be over at your house. You know, you need to get this looking good. Anyway, so they got me, right? I was like, you know what? We really do need to get these carpets cleaned again. It's time. And so,
it's a way of reminding people that you're here, that you have something valuable to offer them.
Well, that's the thing is like I think Donald Miller or different ones say that it takes like five to seven marketing touches at a minimum before people convert. And so that could be a phone call, that could be a text message, that could be an email, it could be, you know, them seeing your billboard, it could be any number of things, visiting your website, hearing someone mention it. But you have to hit people a lot of times
to make a decision, to know who you are, et cetera. But like you said, these are probably former customers. One thing I think that's cool to do with email marketing is not just like solicit new business as well, but to do something that's useful to them, like provide information.
That's
good. You know, so like in the example of carpet cleaning, like an article from an expert on how to take care of your carpet, or, you know,
how to get a pet stain.
Something like that. Right. So that way you are also like establishing yourself as an authority on those subjects and providing useful content. You know, it can also be a good way to keep your brand in their mind without directly selling to them, right? Yes. So like you mix it up. Obviously you still want to like do those promotions like you're talking about. Yes. That was effective, right? But like maybe in between some of those, keeping your name out there through some good content. And then if they have a need, they're going to think of you because they just got an email from you, you know? So
right. It's just keeping that top of mind awareness. Yeah. You know, that's a good point. So, and I've had people do this. I had a company back when I had a marketing company, they was a painting contractor, right? They did a very good painting business. And they said that when they implemented creating, like you said, helpful content and just following up with people, you know, they would do like, I think it was like two or three emails with helpful information, then a sales email, right?
Right.
So like,
yeah.
You know, top three colors that are popular right now, you know, agreeable gray and, you know, Bonvoy, you know, beige or what, I don't, you know, whatever the different colors, I don't know nothing about colors or interior design. Anyway, they would have those things. Then the next email would be like, you know, how to brighten a room, you know, or to brighten your office, especially like during COVID, people were working from home.
Right. Yeah.
How to set the right mood, how color makes a difference. And then, you know, maybe one other thing of like how to select the right painting contractor or how to paint a job right, you know, or something like that. And then the last one is, you know, if you're looking to, you know, take on a project or if you've got a room that you would like to change the color of, you know, call us today and here's a special, and then maybe another one follow up to that would be like, oh, by the way, here's a special offer for follow up for previous customers
or
refer customers to us and get entered into this drawing or whatever it is. So it's not always an ask for the sale on every single email, but by doing that, and really what you're alluding to is much bigger than even the context of what we're talking about, but is important because we'll talk about social media and stuff like that momentarily, but that's creating value.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when you do search engine optimization, we'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, instead of just putting keyword, you know, painting Memphis contractor, Memphis painting, you know, like instead of like, you know, contract painting Memphis services, you know, you, instead of playing with all the keywords, actually just putting the content out there in such a way that it's helpful and relevant to the services that you offer.
Yeah.
That's so much more powerful. People are tired of being sold to.
Yes, exactly.
In a lot of cases. My wife specifically, she said, I hate being sold to, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if people offer valuable information or she gets those emails or she gets that, you know, ad in the newspaper or whatever it is, they are effective if they're not overly pushy.
Yep. And those are the ones that I might let, you know, continue to come in my email inbox, right? And if someone's providing something that's interesting to me, then I'll keep them on the list, you know?
Right.
So I think that's helpful. And you can even do, you know, you can get pretty deep into this, but it doesn't have to even only be like text content. You can do videos in there.
Yep.
There's different ways to engage with people, even in that email medium. So you have multiple ways of engaging with them.
Well, another way to use email marketing is for like lead generation. So right. Let's say you have a pressure washing business and you say, top 10 ways to get rid of mold off of your house or something like that. And or to prevent, you know, damage to your home or to your roof or whatever it is. And so you have this PDF that you create, or maybe it's a video series. Donald Miller does a lot of this in his stuff where he'll do like a 3-part series and you enter your email address to access this free, valuable and related content. And so you get that. Now you're on their email. You've opted in for their content. Now you get entered into what they call a drip campaign, where they have all these different series of helpful emails and sales emails and different ones that they send you that they will then, now you're going to be trickled. It's going to drip out to you, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a good way to create, instead of a paywall, see, for your services, there's a paywall, right? Is what we call it a lot of times, is in order to bring your services out, there's a cost. But like, for instance, in some industries, like say maybe there's a, let's say a consultant or a professional services or something like that, a lot of times what they can do is offer a free consultation.
Yes.
But you have to plug in your name, your email address. Hey, you get a free 30-minute
set up a meeting
call.
With us.
Set up a meeting with us, right? Well, that's a way to capture their email and then plug them into email marketing content. So maybe they're not a good fit right then, but you know, they go on the call, but then now you've got all their information so that down the road when they are ready, you can have delivered value in the content that you've delivered.
I think they call that lead nurturing.
Lead nurturing. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a way to just to bring them from, you know, being a cold lead to being hot, you know, to being one of your customers.
Right.
And that's like a process that you can lead them through. And some industries too have a really long like cycle.
Conversion process.
Yeah, conversion process. So like your first initial contact, especially if you, you know, are operating in the business industry dealing with contracts and corporations, many times they have like a 6-month process that they go through to procure a new vendor. And so you're going to want to be visible during that process. And that's where some of the lead nurturing can come into play.
Mm-hmm.
You're keeping your name out there, providing valuable content, building your brand, all that.
That's awesome. Well, so we could talk about email marketing and marketing
a lot to it.
Content for a long time. But the next step is once you've created your email marketing account, you need to tie it to something. And that something should be your website to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talked about those lead generation, your contact forms, all these things should filter those leads into your email marketing software. And so when you're building a website, you can do this right or you can do it wrong, right? There's many different ways of doing it. And they're not, but you want your website to be clean, simple, very modern. You don't want it to look like, you know, grandpa's 1999, you know, dial-up connection, right?
Yeah.
And so in having something that's mobile friendly, if not what they call mobile first.
Yeah. Is important. Google's search results favor mobile friendly websites.
Yes.
I think it's like 60% weighted 60% or something like that towards mobile.
There's always,
it's constantly changing.
Yeah. Constantly changing, but they really do push for mobile friendly because a lot of people are accessing things via the website. So I recently rebuilt my website. I built my website on WordPress years ago for theblessedbusiness.com, but I recently switched over to Squarespace because it was very mobile friendly to begin with.
Yes.
And you can do that, and mine was fairly mobile friendly.
Love Squarespace.
With WordPress, but Squarespace made it just so easy. So again, if you want something uber custom, you can get a custom, you know, coded website. If you want something kind of in the middle, get like a custom WordPress website or use a template or whatever, or use like one of the page builders out there like Squarespace. I like Squarespace probably the most. I haven't used all the other ones, but they just make it super simple. It's like the Apple of website building.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's simple, clean designs, great SEO integration, a lot of integrations with external other companies, like, for instance, Shopify, Printful. I mean, I'm just thinking of
many different integrations that they have.
And so why reinvent the wheel and build something from scratch, especially if you're getting started? There's really no need to develop something custom.
Right.
No one's going to know. I mean, not that you care anyway, but it's not like it's branded, you know what I mean, with a third party. You can have your own brand on there and integrate it with a lot of these tools that we're talking about just natively. And so I use Squarespace. I've used it in the past, and we're not affiliated with them actually.
Yeah,
so
hopefully.
This is you know, not at this moment, right? But so
I really hope they let us become an affiliate.
But
this
is like,
but I paid for my website. Yeah, no, we love their services.
Them, so.
We do actually have some affiliate links and non-affiliate links that we have on our theblessedbusiness.com and then on our resources page.
Yeah.
There's a whole list of like free photography websites, paid photography websites, marketing tools, marketing software, and Squarespace, 99 Designs, Fiverr.com. All those are going to be on our resources page, and we'll leave a link to that. And there, and some of those we do have affiliate links for, but some of them we don't. But regardless, it's things that we've either
actually used
and actually recommend.
More quality, yep.
So once you figure out what platform you're going to build your website on, then the key is how to actually lay this out, how to build this effectively. And again, I know I keep going back to StoryBrand, but Donald Miller has a blog article. Maybe we can link to this in the show notes, but it's buildingastorybrand.com/lay-out-and-effective-home-page. That's a really long URL. They need so if you got that and you type that in, good for you, right?
Props to you. You might have to rewind that a few times.
That's right. Well, that's why we want you to go look in the show notes. I want to show you just how difficult it is not to to use the show notes. So do it the easy way. Click on the show notes and then click the link, and you'll see all the other stuff there too. But it's got they've got an article here, how to strategically lay out an effective homepage, and they just break it down so well about having what you need in your header, what you know, what the best practices are, which is like your menu items, how you know, how you need to keep it simple, have a call to action button, and again, I've used Squarespace to do that. You need to have a value proposition so people know what you're offering and what it means for them, then you need to create the plan, like we talked about last time in the story brand framework, marketing framework. What is the plan? You know, call the plumber, or, you know, call us, schedule a visit, and then we come out and fix it, right? So whatever that plan is, detail that out. And then authority. This is where you demonstrate via, you know, testimonials, logos, whether it's awards that you have, things that are significant, certifications or licenses that you have, finding some way to demonstrate authority. And then you need to have the explanation. This is where that marketing paragraph kind of goes into why to choose you guys, you know, and what go deeper on your solution, then go into pricing. And then they have what they call the junk drawer, which is all the other things that you may want to talk about or reference or different things like that.
The junk drawer.
But just put that at the bottom. So many people clutter the very top of their website with all this random busyness without actually thinking through this. But anyway, so they've got a really good link, and they actually have at the bottom of that article, they've got a 5-minute marketing makeover email lead where you enter your name and email address, like we talked about in email marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And they will send you a 5-part video series that explains how to build a proper website that is effective. And I've went through it, and that's how I like to build a lot of my websites. Back when I did build websites for a living, and then also even for the ones for personal projects like the Blessed Business Podcast and Adam's Portable Building and different ones that I've done. And so I highly recommend checking that out for more resources about building a website.
Yes. Great resource there.
We've mentioned this, but have you ever found, let's talk about step number 10 is creating a lead generator. So a lead generator or lead magnet, it's called different things, is that content piece that you can capture someone's email address with, right?
Right.
Have you ever filled out your name and email to receive some kind of content or maybe a free discount coupon or like a pop-up comes up and says, subscribe and you'll get 15% off your first order? all of those are lead generators.
Yep.
And they have varying degrees of success and stuff. But they, do you think that they're effective?
I think they can be. Yeah, it depends on what they're offering. But like, for instance, if I'm on a website and I'm interested in purchasing one of their products, or I'm like weighing whether or not to go with them versus somebody else.
Sure.
And they say, you know, type in your email address here and you'll get 15% off your first purchase. I mean, of course, I'm going to do that.
You're going
to
do it.
You know what I mean? I don't, you, like,
it's hard not to resist.
Yeah,
that.
If
it's
you're
like
getting 15%
money on the
off,
table.
Right, exactly. Especially if, like I said earlier, if I need the product.
Yes.
It doesn't, for me, it doesn't work if I don't like, if I don't want it or need it, sure. Right? It doesn't like pull me in. But if I'm there, it's because I'm looking into what they have to offer. And so, to me, that's a way to stand out versus the competition. If you're going to offer 15% off, yeah, I'm going to go with you instead. That's probably a good deciding factor if you have comparable quality, et cetera.
Right. Whereas a bad lead generator might be, hey, you know, sign up for our email newsletter because we want to be friends. Yeah,
right.
I've seen literally stuff like that before. Let's be friends. Sign up for our newsletter.
I don't want to be friends with you.
That's not delivering any value, right?
Yep.
So if you have a content piece like Donald Miller's three-part video series of how to build a better website, and I'm like, I need this content.
Yep.
Or it's, hey, I want to buy this product, but you're going to give me 15% off. Okay, I'll go with you.
Free shipping.
Free shipping,
or, I mean,
whatever,
something
right?
Like that, yeah.
And so there's good ways and bad ways to do that. Just putting something on your website that says, give me your email address, if there's no value attached to it, it just like the email marketing stuff, it's not going to go well.
Most people don't want to give away their email address.
No.
Like, I don't know about you, but you know that whole, like, you're ordering something and at the bottom it has, like, check yes to sign up for our email promotions, you know. I
always
unchecked, always, you know what I mean? Unless it's something that interests me or I feel like they've done a good job with delivering content.
Right.
But most of the time it's going to be a no, so.
Exactly. Well, all right, so that's step number 10 is creating a good lead generator. Think of a way to provide value and then something that's worth people giving up their precious email for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So think about that. And then that leads into step number 11, which is create a landing page. So once you've got your website, once you've got some of these things all lined up, then what you want to do is create a landing page. And ideally, your lead generator is probably going to be somewhere attached to that. So Donald Miller, again, going back to him, he grew his business the first 5 million year in revenue. He said the 80 or 90%, I mean, rough numbers, I don't remember the exact percentage, but a huge percentage of their business leads for that came from the very first version of that how to build a website PDF that they would put their email address in, and then they would just market to them and provide additional value, and eventually they'd get people to come to their course, right? And so if you have a really good lead generator with a really good landing page,
yeah,
that this is your sales page, right? This is how you get people to convert. And this is also something when we get further on down that you have your social media, your marketing, email marketing, your online ads, things like that. If you create a really good lead generator that really makes sense for people, and then you can start linking to that in all the other marketing stuff we're going to talk about you're creating, it builds upon itself, right?
Yeah.
And so
targeted.
Let's take a roofer, for example. So let's say that they want a roofing contractor, and you put in there your lead generator is that we will come out and do a free estimate of, which again, people say free estimates, that's one thing, but let's say you spin this up and say, hey, look, you know, a lot of people have experienced storm damage with all the weather anomalies that's been going on. We've had a number of different roofs that were qualified for insurance claims, and we handled 100% of the paperwork, claim paperwork and everything. All you had to do is pay your deductible and you get a new roof.
That's an attractive proposition.
I mean, I actually called one out the other day, look at mine, because my neighbor had this happen to him, right? $20,000 roof, $1,000 deductible, and the roofing company came out and said, yes, you've got damage, and the insurance company went with it. And obviously, we want to make sure it's legitimate.
Right, but there was damage there.
But there was enough
case,
damage for them to justify it. And it's like, oh yeah, sign me up for that. You know, we've had a number of different storms, and I found a couple of pieces of shingles, so
and
I called them.
Let's see, what you said was that the offer was they're going to handle the paperwork.
Yes.
Right? So, like, to me, that says there's no risk in doing this. Have them come out.
Yes.
And if you can offer that kind of a proposition, I'm going to sign up for that all day, every day. You know what I mean?
The value is you're going to get a free inspection and we're going to let you know if there's any issues with your roof,
yep.
which a lot of people will say, okay, all right, whatever. Then if there is an issue, we will handle any claims to your insurance company and say, oh, okay, there's more value. So it's free.
That's value.
So that's risk. That's taking away risk. But then, okay, now here's value with the to handling the paperwork. So you're going to make it easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and let's say that, you know, if you have any minor repairs that, that we find that you want to do that isn't covered by insurance, we'll give you 25% off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you do that, then it's like, ooh, would I put my email address in for that?
I want to sign up right now.
Exactly. Right. It's like, how do I do this? Right. That's a lot different than call us for a free quote, right? Or
right.
we'll come out and do a free estimate. You know, that just, it's a totally different value proposition
mm-hmm.
when you do that. Right. So if you create a targeted landing page for storm damage roofs, right now your main website may be we're an A+ rated, you know, roofing contractor. You may talk about all these different things and it may be optimized differently, but you want to create, you know, you want to hone in who your biggest target market would be. And if insurance companies pay out the most and there's a lot of storm damages and stuff, then you want to create a landing page that really, really zeroes in on that lead generator, which is
yep.
the free show up estimate, right?
Yep.
And handle the paperwork with the insurance company.
I think you can even do, I mean, I know for sure you can, but you can also do pages targeted to certain
yes, you can
needs
do different ones.
And campaigns. So yeah, multiple landing pages. So like maybe, you know, and we'll get into this later, but you have a campaign surrounding the storm damaged roofs. Maybe
sure.
a big storm happened, right? And mm-hmm. you spin up a campaign about that.
Yes.
You create a landing page that goes along with that. Maybe that isn't your normal pitch. Like maybe that's not what
sure.
you do all season long or all year long, let's say. But maybe, you know, during this particular season, you notice that that's the need. Well, you spin up a landing page that's specifically targeted to that campaign. Mm-hmm. And that way you're able to speak to the needs of that audience.
Or let's say that you are doing one about metal roofs for barns. Right?
Yeah.
So are you looking for a new roof on your barn or whatever? Then, you know, consider our architecturally engineered, you know, metal roofing that lasts forever, right? It'll outlast your barn or whatever. Well, if that's a segment of your market you're targeting, create a landing page.
Yeah.
Create another lead generator, right? So you identify all the different targeted personas and you want to create a lead generator and a landing page that really speaks to each of them. And it takes a little bit of time to hone that in and figure out what really speaks to them. But when you get that right, it'll start creating leads for yourself as long as you're pushing it out there, right? Which is kind of the next stage is once you got that set up, then step number 12 is SEO, search engine optimization. And this mm-hmm. doesn't have to be rocket science, but there's a lot of content and info on that. We'll leave some resources and stuff like HubSpot Academy has some different resources. Google has a number of different, a Google Academy, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's called for analytics and ads and all the different things you can do. There's a lot of content out there about search engine optimization.
Some of what you could do for this particular area too is hire somebody on one of these services like Fiverr.
Yes,
like to
absolutely.
Do an SEO optimization, you know, that's could be something that's valuable for you to do too.
Absolutely.
Depending, you know, on what your resources are.
And it's
are
very
and time,
easy for
et
them to do if you've figured out all the other stuff
yes.
up to now.
Yes.
That's not a very expensive thing to do for someone to do that for you if you've got all this other
You're
stuff.
You're looping them out. In on this particular area.
Right.
Yeah.
And so so search engine optimization is good. Once you have something to take people to that will convert, then it's worth spending money on their SEO.
Right.
People that just want to SEO for their business name, that's kind of a waste, right?
Yeah.
And so if you don't deliver value and people don't jump immediately off your page, if you aren't providing value on there and have a way to convert them from leads or from, you know, interested browsers to leads, it's a huge missed opportunity. So spend your time building all the other stuff up and then work on SEO.
Yep.
So then number 13 would be set up Google Analytics. And Google Analytics, and there's like, I think Google Webmaster Tools, and they've changed the name a number of different times. But all of that is important because what that does is that shows you can see, oh, my landing page is getting hit but people are jumping off and not signing up, right?
Yeah, I got bounce rate.
Your bounce rate, stuff like that. So it starts to let you play with, okay, I'm going to do two different landing pages and tweak the wording on them and see which one actually converts. So that gives you some insight. The next thing is, and kind of speeding along here, is Google My Business. And they've changed it to, but basically getting your business on Google Maps. I think it's still called Google My Business. They may have changed it to Google Business Console. Again, Google is real bad about changing their names of stuff all the time. But basically setting it up to where your business can be found on like Google Maps, Google Search, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very simple thing to do, but you set up your profile, put in pictures, put in your website URL, put in like your social media, and which would be the next thing is creating your social media accounts and profiles, connect those up, get some reviews, try to get some reviews. And maybe part of your email campaigns that you're doing is going back to previous customers and say, hey, click this link to leave us Google review and you'll get entered to win a $5 gift or $15 Starbucks gift card or something like that. And so once you get that is absolutely critical, getting the Google My Business profile up for 90% of businesses.
A lot of traffic can come from that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Even before your regular landing pages and stuff start becoming SEO optimized where they're starting to rank really well, a lot of times Google Maps, because it's localized, if they're close to you, right?
And the sooner that you can get on there, the better. Because it's ranked higher the longer it's on there. Yes. So,
and the more reviews you have, all that. The higher the reviews and stuff like that. So then, start getting people to, asking customers, hey, would you leave us a Google review? The carpet cleaner, what did he do? He sent me a follow-up email. Because again, he got me with an email campaign, right?
Yeah.
And then he came out and cleaned. And then he's about a week later, a day or two later, get an email saying, hey, did we earn a nice review? Or did we earn a review? And did we do a good job?
So you can do a campaign for that. Yes. Yeah.
There's actually software you can get where like if they say, did you enjoy your services? If yes, then click here. If no, then click here. If they click yes, then it takes them to a review page. If they click no, it sends you an email where they can file a complaint, but instead of putting it on reviews, it comes to you. So there's actually different marketing software related to that to really boost that. But
reviews are a big part of search and like the rankings. So the more that you have, the better. It's always good to encourage your customers to do that.
And you can use some of those to put on your testimonial section of your website as well and say from Google reviews. If you're a restaurant, you may have other things like OpenTable or
Yelp,
things like that could be helpful. So whatever is important to your business, but Google is definitely one of the top, but then look at other platforms as well, which leads into number 15 here. And we'll kind of breeze through some of the rest of these because these are a little bit too much to get into deep detail on each one. But you need to set up your social media profiles and accounts. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they'll be very similar to your domain name, like the adamsbuildings.com. We were able to get Facebook / Adams Buildings and Instagram, all those the same, right?
Yeah.
And I looked at all those before I selected a domain name to try to keep those very similar. So you want to set up your social media profiles and make sure that you keep those as fill out as many of the details as possible so that you don't just leave information just hanging out there that could be filled in. Like go ahead and fill in your business hours, fill in, if your business is handicap accessible or all the little tweak questions that it asks you, and get reviews, put some content out there because that starts building your rank authority. And then again, linking that back to your website and linking your website to that creates cross-linking. And so all these things are important for search engine optimization and marketing.
Knowing, what your target audience uses the most.
Yes. Which social platform exists.
Some of that can be driven, like we talked about earlier with Google Analytics, seeing where
they're coming from.
Are they coming from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google search, Bing search? I mean, you could see where they're coming from. Maybe your particular market is using one versus the other.
Sure.
I know like Instagram skews younger than Facebook as an average. So maybe Facebook is more of a target for like a home improvement business or, that's a generalization.
If you're a CPA firm or professional services, you may need to advertise or do social media, do social posts on LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're a recruiter or whatever.
Yep.
So all that is relevant. So number 16 would be create a social media content calendar. Plan out what you're going to talk about, right? And schedule it. You can there's a lot of apps you can use to schedule it in advance. There's a lot of different things for social media management tools out there, and there's new ones every day. But you can absolutely streamline this, but you want to be consistent. They say consistency is the key, right? And there's certain times of the day or week that's better to post than others and different things. And it's important to pay attention to that, but being consistent and delivering value consistently, I guess,
right,
is probably one of the most important things with social media. Instead of just having a very fluffy, light, quote of the day, or some cheesy, meme or something like that, or mime, meme, however you say it.
Meme.
You want to deliver substance and value, mm-hmm, with that. And sometimes you can have some lighthearted stuff, but if that's all it is, people are going to ignore you.
Right.
Because you look immature as a business brand.
And it's cool because you can schedule all that out. Mm-hmm. There's like for Twitter, I think there's one called TweetDeck that you can use to schedule it out. And then for building content, I think one that we've used has been Airtable, it's called.
Okay.
And so you can use that as kind of a central content repository if you have multiple people working, mm-hmm, on content with you. Maybe it's just you and your friend or your wife or whoever right now, but right, you can collaborate and then kind of build it out from there. So
you may have a three-man marketing team, me, exactly, myself, and I.
Exactly. So someone asked me the other day, I was going over to their house, and I said, yeah, me, myself, and I are coming.
All three of us, right? All right. So wrapping up here, number 17 is online reviews and testimonials. I think we kind of covered that in the Google My Business side of things, but getting reviews and good reviews is important. Now, I did see one time there was it was some kind of medical service or something, and they said on the back of the door, and they didn't have great service, but they had, I think it was like an urgent care or something like that. But they didn't have great service because it was kind of terrible, unfortunately. But we went, and on the back of the door, when they closed the door, there's this big sign that says, leave us a five-star review to get entered for a $50 gift card, or we will give you a $15 gift card or something like that. And so they had a lot of really good reviews, and I realized, that's what it is. So you have to be careful. If you're asking for five-star good reviews, you don't want that. You want to be honest. You want to deliver something where if you ask for a good review, then you'll earn it. Right. You don't want a bunch of fake stuff because people will look right through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then we've got number 18, which is online ads. That's too big to go into details, but figuring out, like you said, which platform your audience is on, whether
Google
it's
AdWords,
Facebook ads, Instagram ads. Yep. It's so easy to start with advertising and be practical with it, boosting posts, mm-hmm, things like that. There's a lot of online resources on how to do that effectively. And then number 19 is guerrilla marketing. This is kind of something I think is interesting. So when you're marketing your business, you've got all this other stuff going, you're probably going to be doing okay. But guerrilla marketing is doing all the non-traditional things. This is going to be things like, go stick your business card, stack your business cards at the Mexican restaurant. I literally saw this the other day. There was like a whole stack of them, right? The return of that, I don't know how good it is, but it's possible, right? Whether it's getting someone to agree to spray paint your logo on the side of their barn as you're going down the interstate. Maybe you can't afford a billboard, but you can convince this farmer to have you put your
creativity.
Yes, right. So figure out ways, and there's a whole bunch of different ways to do guerrilla marketing. There's any number of things that would make sense. But in a more practical sense, it'd be like pop-up events. Have you heard of like pop-up shops or like pop-up restaurants?
Yes.
Things like that. So that is a form of guerrilla marketing. It's like, getting you like one of those signs, like you can go to Vistaprint or FedEx.com or something like that and get one of these printed, like roll-up, not billboards, but like event signs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think of the official banners. Name for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a retractable banner is what they're called. And then let's say you go down to in Memphis, the Crosstown Concourse, or let's say, you know, there's a big event happening downtown, or, you know, there's a concert, or there's a big industry event at the Agri Center. These are places around here, whatever where you're looking at. And you stand on the sidewalk and you put this up until they kick you out, right? Yeah. And you're like handing out your business cards or like a free lead gen, like, you know, hey,
pop up shops are a big thing.
It's a big thing, right?
And it has like a coolness factor to it. People are like, oh, where are they going to pop up this weekend? You know,
yes.
Social media, all that. I had a friend that actually, she did that with, she was like a florist. She did flowers. And so she would pop up and, you know, it did well.
Yes. Now, and you have to be careful with this, but another thing I've seen before is stickers and decals. Where, like, let's say you get a really cool, like, sticker and you put them in interesting places. So, like, let's say, like, there's a, on the button for like the crosswalk or something like that. And you put it now, hopefully you don't get in trouble for this. This is probably highly illegal, defacing government property, but, you know,
check with your lawyer.
Yeah. Check with your lawyer first. But like, there's places like that. You know, a lot of people do this politically. They'll put like the, a president, which I will see a name, but at the gas pump, he's got a finger pointed that, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where it says, I did this.
Yeah, you know.
Everyone around here anyway has seen these where at the gas pump where the gas prices are.
Stickers are a big thing.
Oh, yes,
I didn't even, so like I was somewhere recently and they had stickers of their logo and various like sayings related to their business for sale.
Yes.
And people are buying them.
Yes.
And so, like, I mean, you couldn't give me the sticker. I wouldn't use it. But people actually buy
people
them.
They
stick them on their water bottles. You know, the Stanley water bottles, it's a big thing. People stick stickers on them on their metal water bottles. I mean, there's pins, you know, people collect them. I mean, some of this stuff is like, you wouldn't think it maybe would take off, but it actually does.
Sometimes
and people
it really
buy it
does.
From you, you know?
Yes. Well, especially if you do something, if you have a good idea.
Right,
for it,
exactly. Good
where,
brand.
Where it like, well, and it's really, this is where you want to get clever. On your business name, you want to focus on clarity, not cleverness.
Yeah.
But on this, you want to get clever, right? And so I've seen a number of different good examples of that, or even like handing them out at different events and stuff like that, whether it's stickers or logoed products, things like that. But don't just like in mass dump this stuff out there.
No.
Have a strategic plan where it like it, people are like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, where it makes sense, you know, rather than just bombarding people with all of your branded random, you know, junk.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's a number of different things you can do, collaborations and partnerships. There's a lot of people on like social media, like smaller influencers and stuff. There's actually websites for like, I'm not on this, but like, you know, podcasts or YouTube channels or different ones that are smaller, but they have a very niche or niche focus where you can actually get on there and become one of their brand advertisers where you sponsor one of their videos or something like that.
Yeah.
And our podcast or something like that.
YouTube channels.
Exactly. And so there's a lot of different ways to do it. Another one, I was looking up some other examples. One would be chalk art, like on like a sidewalk or something like that. I mean, like if you could, depending on what business you are, right? Then that can be something, you know, social media contests where you get people doing stuff for you. They become you let them do all that potentially questionable stuff, like pose with our sign in, you know, a random spot in Memphis, right? And and whoever wins gets $1,000. Well, if you get a campaign going behind this, you may have 10,000 pictures hashtagged, right? Which you could never post that much content, and you gave $1,000 away. Well, that was a valuable marketing effort, right?
Yeah. And you know, the marketing world has kind of stole this term from the church world, but they actually call them like product evangelists,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And it's like, it's kind of interesting because the whole idea is like, there's a fervor behind it. There's a drive, you know,
at least for years. I don't know if it is now, but almost every product, Apple product you bought, you got an Apple sticker with it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And you see those on like people's MacBooks, on their iPhone cases, on their bumper, on their window of their car, their bumper, whatever. And so when you
don't give me a sticker, but it's a, I would do them. I would offer them.
I'm not much of a sticker person, but I know people that are. I mean, they love it.
That's what I'm saying. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And so anyway, so that there's all kinds of ways you can do guerrilla marketing. Look up some, there's a lot of really cool case studies about stuff that went really, really well. And then some things that went really, really bad.
Yeah.
So use some wisdom on that, but that's good. And then lastly here is we have networking and word of mouth. So the greatest form of marketing is being remarkable.
Yeah.
And I really like Seth Godin's book, Purple Cow. And he talks about how him and his family were driving through, I think it was either Scotland or Ireland or somewhere, and just gorgeous, luscious green fields and, black and white spotted dairy cows and just gorgeous countryside. And they're just driving for hours. And for the first, 30 minutes, they're like, ooh, and on. And for the next hour, they're like, oh, that's cool. And then by hour number three, they're kind of like, okay, more of the same, right? It became ordinary. But he said, what if we looked over in one of the fields and saw a purple cow, right?
Yeah.
Well, we would have, we'd have slammed on the brakes. Stood out. Yes, we would have pulled over. We'd have like, come on, kids, let's go over to the fence. Let's pet this thing. Let's take pictures with it. You would have called or emailed people. You would have texted people. You would have posted that on social media. You would have got back and people were like, how was your trip? Like, oh, you will never believe it. We saw a purple cow, right? And so the point of this is becoming worth making a remark about, becoming remarkable. What is your purple cow? What makes you stand out? And so if you do networking and you can get people talking about you in a positive way, that is the greatest form of marketing. So all the other forms of marketing are trying to get people to talk about you in a good way.
Yes.
And so if you can do that, the more you can incentivize people to do that, that'll be great. So I hope that you have found value in this. Do you have any further tips or tricks or suggestions for people as we kind of wrap up this these practical steps to small business marketing tips?
No, I think that pretty much covered this segment of what we're talking about. But yeah, I would just say start one by one, start building it out. Don't try to take on too much all at once. If you're just new to this, start in a sequential pattern. Start building it out, doing research, etc. And then I think you'll just grow from there and you'll begin to see what works and what doesn't. Maybe get some advice from people around you if you have questions, bounce ideas off of them, get feedback, and I think then you'll find good success.
So. Absolutely. Well, thank you. I'll finish with this quote here. And there's actually two quotes that are similar, but one is by Scott Cook. It says, a brand is no longer what we tell the consumer it is what consumers tell each other it is.
It's good.
So if you confuse, you lose, as Donald Miller says. So you have to really simplify it. But if you make it simple, clean, and easy, and you meet people where they're at, and you really speak to them and make it easy for them to remark about you and talk to others about you, that's when you know you've done a good job marketing and branding, is when people talk about you in such a way that it makes others want to engage with your brand, with your business.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Get out there, start your marketing campaigns, be blessed, and be sure to tune in to the next couple episodes. We've got a lot scheduled coming out over the next little bit. So subscribe if you haven't already, and be sure to share the podcast with someone that you think that would find value in this. That would really help us, and it would help somebody else, and that would make you a generous person, which is always good, right? And so it's good to practice generosity. So be generous, share this with somebody today, get out there, be blessed, and tune in next time. Have a blessed day.